Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by one of the fastest rising stars in Netflix global reality universe, Harry Jowsey. After, you like that? I give you the radio voice and all, baby. After first breaking onto the scene with Netflix Unscripted TV, Harry's become one of the faces of the platform with his own show coming out, Let's Marry Harry, premiering in 2026. I love that you're laughing. He was the centerpiece of Netflix summer breakout event earlier this year, where the streamer spotlighted him as one of its breakout stars. I was actually there. You were crushing. I mean, you actually had the streamer on you. But Harry's career goes further beyond reality TV. He's breaking into acting, with starring in roles in Netflix's upcoming The Wrong Paris and Billy Knight opposite Al Pacino. That's pretty badass. As well as the indie horror film Horrified, which he had a sex scene. We'll talk about it. He's also an entrepreneur launching PASH, Pash, a sustainable brand with philanthropic mission inspired by his personal experience. Dude, we got so much to uncover. Oh, you were back on this show in 2021. I just did a very, very short summary of what you've done since 2021. The list is endless. Thank you for being back,
dude,
on.
Thank you for having me. This is crazy.
It's crazy. So I kind of gave you this sneak peek before we started, but yeah. I said, I got to go down the road. I got to go back to 2021. Dude, I was listening to the clips of our podcast. Oh. I was cackling. I want to give you some of the recap, okay?
Okay.
We talked a little bit about the fact that you would wake up and you would submit hundreds of applications. You would lie on resumes. You didn't care what it took, but you knew you were born for reality TV. You talked about the fact you'd use different names. You'd even send dick pics a year and a half ago. At that time, this was fall 2021, you said you had $3,000 in your bank account, but your goal was to be a millionaire by 23. You also said in the next upcoming years, you wanted to find a way. You said, I talked to Logan Paul and I need to find a way to make $10 million a year.
That's crazy.
We talked about OnlyFans. I said, I heard rumors that you broke $500K. You laughed at me. You said, $500K? Dude, I broke $1 million. I mean, the list was endless. That was 2021. When I say these things, like, what are you thinking about that and where you are today?
It gets me itchy. I'm like, that's crazy. But the thing is, I think with that stuff, it's like to dream bigger. And that was, I guess that was the only thing I saw in my line of sight at that time. Like, one of my friends was telling me there's like infinite realities going on, right? And I think now, like, maybe that thought process has developed a little bit more. Like, you can tap into your reality where you're a billionaire, or your reality where you're a homeless person, or like there's literally infinite realities of your life. And I think, like, me trying to be in that thing, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, the OnlyFans and I'm gonna make $10 million a year or do this stuff, like, I think I was just so short-sighted. When now I'm like, okay, that's very premature of where I think now, which is like awesome, which is great. But yeah, it's just crazy to think like also how nuts I was. I remember when I was on that and I was in my apartment, it was $15,000 a month. It was way too expensive. I thought I was the man, like the king of the world, like buying all these watches, doing all this stuff. It was ridiculous. It was a crazy time.
What, like, so you were paying $15K a month then, and like, were you making good amount of money?
Yeah,
back
I was
then?
Chilling. Like, okay, it was fine, but it was also like, there's no need to do that.
Interesting. So think about how much you've learned in 4 years. Do you think, I always talk about when you look at spending, it connects to like maybe behavioral patterns or growth or like areas of your life. Do you think there was some kind of like insecurity with like identity or something that created that?
For
or do you just think it was, like how would you speak to that?
I think when you're, and you get it as well, like when you come in this space really quickly and really rapidly and there's all these eyeballs on you, you have to justify or like validate that you're moving forward. Like,
yeah,
I need a new watch, new trophy. Like, I need a new car, or I need to be in the fancy place where all the fancy people are. Like, there was always this constant like trying to validate my success instead of being so afraid to be irrelevant, so afraid to like fall off, whatever else. Now I'm understanding that there's an ebb and flow of this stuff. Like, you have to go quiet for a little bit and be missed to come back and be like really appreciated. And I look at all like the big actors that I really want to be like, and they'll disappear offline for like 6-8 months, and then they'll have a movie come out and then they're everywhere. I'm like, oh, that's kind of how it has to go. It has to be an ebb and flow. Whereas back then I'm like, I'll do anything to have people talking about me.
Interesting. You talked a little bit about like short-sightedness versus your long-term plan now. Tell us a little bit more about like the strategy, the business mind. We know you got so much going on now. We'll talk about that. Yeah. But what is short-sightedness, and then what does long-term look like now? What are the differences?
I think the short-sightedness for me was being focused on the dollar amount, like X amount this year, and then only thinking of like OnlyFans, this, that, whatever else. Whereas like now it's okay, we've got Mary Harry coming up.
Yeah.
What, I'm going to be hot for a minute, but like what I've been telling my friends is, how many seeds can I plant this year?
Yeah.
So that they're going to blossom the next year and the year after. Whereas before I was only thinking of like the next 3 months, next 6 months, like how can I get to this figure quickly just to say I could do it? Whereas like now it's, well, I want to be here forever. So how do I start planting as many seeds as possible? Because shows take forever to come out.
Sure.
And especially if you create an idea, that takes so long. And then the budgeting and then the scouting, the places where you need to do it. Like there's so much stuff involved in this. So I've just, now it's like being more focused on what's going to happen in the next 3 years or the next 4 years instead of I want to be an influencer and pop my bussy on OnlyFans.
Yeah, I got it. I love it. One of the things I think about you is like, and I've talked about this with other people in reality and people from The Bachelor, like your names come up. And our biggest thing is like in The Bachelor world, right? Like in a lot of other shows, you move left the wrong way and you are getting killed. It's like you're done, you're out, the fans are just killing you. And we're like, or you have one bad breakup or you said one wrong thing on TV or whatever, and it's like we just get buried. We're like, there's something special about Harry Jowsey that he just redefines the rules. There are no, like, one of the rules we've had actors on, comedians, billionaires on this podcast, one of the rules that we've heard about in entertainment is like it is extremely hard to go from reality to scripted. And if you go into scripted and you go to reality, it's extremely hard to go back to scripted. But here, Harry Jowsey is redefining rules. You're about to get married on TV and then you're killing it in the scripted game. When people say this, it's like I say it out loud, like you can kind of write your own rules and do what you want no matter how many mistakes you make. What's your take? Like, what do you think when you think about that as far as like your career and those comments?
You know what's crazy is I read Kevin Hart's book and he was like, his mission was to get so big that nobody could say no to him. And I'm like, that's the best mentality. Because if I was like, because when I started doing reality TV, like people were like, oh, you could never act, you could never do this stuff. And I'm like, okay, like they'll never take you serious. I'm like, well, I don't take myself serious anyway. So we're good, we're already chilling. Mm. I think that it just, like people who can't do it are afraid. Like people are like, oh, but also the problem is as well, like when you're too good, like The Bachelor, you guys are too crispy clean.
It's like too polished.
You're too polished. Yeah. You're too good of a human.
Yeah.
I suck. Like I can only come up. If you guys slip up or say one wrong thing, you're fucked. Like they're going to come crashing. Like, oh, I knew he was a bad guy. I knew this. I knew that. I'm already the rock bottom. I can only go up. Like that's why I'm chilling. Like I see so many influences. Like when it's like the most minor thing, like there was this one TikTok I saw of this girl, I know, she was getting in trouble because people thought she had hair extensions.
Hmm.
And she was getting destroyed online. People like, because her whole thing is about having good hair.
Yeah.
And I just thought that's the funniest thing ever. Like people are angry because they think you have hair extensions.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. That's what happens when you're too good.
Yeah,
such a good person.
That's interesting.
Be a shitty person.
There's a, well, and, I don't even think like,
and life's good.
I think it's hilarious, but I think like what you're saying in other words too are like when you are true to your authentic self, the expectation is that you are your authentic self.
Mm.
And I think what happens on social media and especially reality and maybe Bachelor is people create this inauthentic version of who they are. Therefore, they build an expectation of what they represent, and then the second they become actually who they are, they get blasted. And it feels like a lot of your success, if you look at 2021 to now, is derived from the fact that like you are always you're sitting here right now and you're still, and you got an awesome PR company behind you, shout out Align PR, they're the best in the business, and you're still authentically yourself no matter what. And I think that's kind of your special sauce. A question I got for you, because people that listen to this are entrepreneurs and they're trying to navigate the life of world in all directions. Hate is a big thing. Online criticism is a big thing. Social media has brought that to levels we never expected. Mm. Are you not fazed by some of the pushback, some of the negativity, some of the things that have tried to derail you, and how do you deal with it?
I think that I'd be lying if I was like, oh, it didn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't affect me. But the more hate you get, the more you get better at dealing with it. It's so good.
Yeah.
Like that's the only attitude I can have is like if I do something wrong and I make a mistake and I get a ton of hate, and people get mad at me about that. Well, I know now I'm a better off person because I won't make that mistake again.
Mm.
Like the goal isn't to make the mistakes, but when I get all this hate or like people moving, even if they're mad about something that doesn't even matter, then it's like better for me because I'm like, okay, well, you're just being a silly sausage and like I don't really care. And I also understand hate never comes from above. Like Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like no one who's doing better than you is going to hate on
that's
you
true.
And punch down. And also when you're so focused, when you're in your own lane, there's no traffic, right? So if you're focused on my lane and you're getting angry at me, you're behind me. Get in your own lane and focus on your own shit. So that's what I just think about. Like, again, no one who's better than me is hating on me, if that makes sense.
That
it's always people
sense.
that are just angry and bored at home and are grumpy little gremlins. And then, so yeah, I don't know. That's how I think about it. It's like, it's obviously, it sucks. No one wants to get hate, but it makes me a better off person because I care less. And I'm like, well, I feel sorry for you.
If you're looking for a trading secret when it comes to skincare, I have your answer. It is OneSkin. Customers consistently rave about how their skin is smoother, firmer, and healthier looking results that get better over time, improving both their appearance and the overall health with OneSkin. No wonder why OneSkin's products have over 10,000. Yes, we talk about numbers on Trading Secrets. 10,000 five-star reviews. OneSkin has also attracted A-list fans like Jennifer Aniston and Matthew McConaughey. How can you deny that? OneSkin is changing how we age, focusing on skin and scalp health at the cellular level. Powered by their patent OS01 peptide, every formula is designed to keep skin healthier, stronger, and more resilient over time. For a limited time, try OneSkin with 15% off. That's 15% off. Just use code TradingSecrets at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off at OneSkin.co with code TradingSecrets. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them we sent you.
All right, I like
that. Is
that
a wrong take?
I like that. No, I like that take. It's a good perspective that, like, the people that are hating on you are actually fueling you, and it's not people aren't punching down. And like that's a good take, and I think that's good advice. Now let's get into this. Like reality TV, since you started, it's like you kind of saw the vision, the writing on the wall before it became like you back in the podcast in 2021 talking about rifling hundreds of applications to get on. You saw something with that, but then now you've become the guy. Like you're the guy at Netflix in the reality universe is like blowing up. How did you like? What are some, talk to me just about like strategy, tactics, things you think you did to develop your brand and like even internally or externally for Netflix to be like, we just need you in the mix. It doesn't matter. It could be any show. We need you in the mix and now we're going to build our own show around you. How'd you do it?
I think the problem with reality TV and the people that go on it is we got given a crazy opportunity. So everyone kind of sits and expects more stuff to come.
Yeah.
Whereas like with Netflix, I would think of an idea, even if it's stupid, just to force a meeting, just to be in front of them. And then they're like, okay, cool. Like this guy won't leave us alone. Like maybe we should do something, whatever else. But at least you're always front of mind.
What would you say in front? Like, so you got the meeting with Netflix. Like what was your pitch? What were your things?
I would just come up with ideas. Like and you can do it now with like ChatGPT. So it's like obviously super easy to think of some shitty ideas. But just to have, like I'm already in the network. This is before, right? I'm already in their ecosystem. They're like, we love him, whatever else. How do I get in front of them? Because I know they're doing shows every week. There's so much stuff going on. Oh, I've got a really cool idea that I'd love to like pitch to you guys and just come hang out. And then you get to meet everyone in that department. You get to walk around, whatever else. I just think I got lucky because I made so many like real legitimate friends there that what I realized with LA is people only want to work with their friends and people that they love, right? Like a lot of the people in these movies and stuff, they'll just cast their friends because like I know they're reliable. I know they're going to show up.
Sure.
And I know like we're going to have a great time at work and it's going to be cool. I think I just got lucky because everyone at that company is like a really good friend now because we've been going on it for so many years. I also think the best advice I got from one of my people in the industry was that you kind of have to be like the girlfriend that got away in high school. Right. So when I first did Tour the Handle, I started sitting there kind of expecting, as we do, expecting that I was going to get another show.
Sure.
Whatever else. And then I was like, why is like no one, what are we doing? Like no I'm sitting on my hands, like what's happening? And then they said, well, you got to be kind of be like, you got to show us what we're missing. And I'm like, okay, fair. And then I started thinking, all right, well, I got to be bigger than Netflix, which is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I go on a different network and how to be seen by different stuff? And I think because I did so much other stuff that it's made me have a bigger audience than just Netflix or people that are on different networks, if this makes any sense at all.
It does. I think you're one of the things I've seen a theme with now is you sometimes got to be like the girlfriend that got away.
Yeah.
That connects to what you said just about like 10 minutes ago when you talked about you don't always have to be relevant in the spotlight. You sometimes can take a break and then come back. That's what the movie stars do. Going back to that comment, like when you say you take a break, like what does that look like? Are you taking like 3 months off social media? Are you not doing one interview? What does that look like?
I think it just means turning down, like before the break would be having a month off social media and whatever else. Now it's like turning down like the, maybe the show or an opportunity that doesn't feel right, that's fitting.
Okay.
And then also understanding that, so now like we've got Marry Harry coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be, like the last thing I need to be doing is going crazy on social media and trying to get people to talk about me. I shouldn't be doing that right now. I'm about to have the biggest opportunity in my life.
Yeah.
So just to like kind of pump the brakes and stay out of the drama for a little bit. And then once the show's coming up, I think it helps when you have stuff that you know is going to happen and come forward.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of pump the brakes and be a little bit more scarce. But I think that's, I don't know, I'm very in a very privileged position to be able to slow things down when I want.
Let's marry Harry. I think it's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about how that came together. Obviously, like there are fans of the show here that watch The Bachelor. Mm. Sounds like kind of like a similar premise, maybe a little competition of the show. Talk to me about
fuck
like
The Bachelor.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm joking.
You guys, your PR team is sweating over there. All right, so you know, put them to work. But like, how did it come about?
You know what's crazy? I was manifesting being The Bachelor. I would lie about it.
Oh, you would put. I remember you would create fake posts.
Yes.
You remember you just like put, before AI would do it for you, you would like edit it and put your name as the Bachelor.
Yeah, I'd go on Fiverr and I'd make a fake Bachelor. Yeah. And that's crazy because you're like, oh, you should legitimately manifest that. It's really the most bizarre thing because I was always like, oh, I really want to be the Bachelor and I had offers.
Did the Bachelor ever reach out to you?
Hated me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I get
so like you, okay.
Even I had Joey Grazadeh on my show.
Yeah.
And I was like, he was like, look, it'd be must see TV if you were ever The Bachelor, whatever else. I'm like, well, I feel like it would be epic, but this is the best, the biggest, and most amazing opportunity I could have ever asked for.
Yeah.
Number one, I get to find my person and how the show works is really special. But now I feel like I can kind of recreate The Bachelor, right?
It's pretty cool.
On the biggest streaming platform ever. So I really got really lucky. So hopefully it has an impact like The Bachelor does and can kind of follow in you guys' footsteps. But
did you go to them or did they come to you?
It came to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got, I'm very lucky that I get to work with like Alex Cooper and Matt Kaplan, who are two of my favorite people. And it's so special. Everyone that's in this show is, anytime I meet like more and more people, the producers and stuff, everyone is just so excited and full of love for this show. And like one of like the casting team, I know she's cast a few of The Bachelors and had massive success with them finding their wives. So, and the head of Netflix casting, he's like one of my best friends on the planet.
Yeah.
So he's like being mindful of like, oh, if it's the right girl, they're going to have to hang out with us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like, it's really like, feels like a big family project.
Okay.
Which is really exciting.
When do you start filming?
Next couple months.
Okay. Next couple months. That's an interesting lead time. The reason I ask about lead time is they're casting directors. You said on another show or interview that you're going to propose, right?
I already bought a ring.
You already bought a ring.
Yeah, no one knows.
How's it compared to Taylor Swift's?
You know what? It's going to be something.
Can you share where you bought it from or is that a lot? Okay. Can you share how big it is?
It's great. It's going to be good.
Is it a paper ring like a Taylor Swift innuokay.
It's a real ring. Okay. But it's also, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's a good ring.
Give me the odds. What are the chances, the likelihood that you propose?
8 out of 10.
Is that 80%? 80%. So it's a high likelihood. Okay. I cannot wait to watch this. But one thing I was going to say is with the Bachelor franchise, first of all, let's commend you. Netflix coming to you with this stuff. That's so cool.
It's crazy.
You earned that. Like, you earned that. I'm serious. And that's badass. And you got a ring, which is so cool. Typically, I could speak to my experience of what I know in the show and all the people that we've talked about is you go really quick into filming. I had Rachel Recchi on yesterday. I don't know if it's come out before or after this one, but she had talked about that, like on live TV, that moment, that second, she found out she was picked. They went into filming. On her way to filming, she had to like call her employer and be like, hey, this happened.
Whoa.
And they were like, we got you. We saw it. Go. The 2 month lead time leads to something that's kind of interesting, especially when you know you want to get married and you have the network you do. Are you casting for yourself? Like, are you out there casting for yourself?
I wish, right?
Can you at all talk about, and you don't know, but do you think there might be a combination of like reality stars and...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know, because everyone who's been cast has signed up, I guess. I don't know if the casting's down or whatever else.
Yeah.
All they said is a lot of people signed up. And yeah. I'm like, okay, that's really scary, because I went into Netflix and I was like, hey, like, has there been like 100 people signed up? They're like thousands of people signed up, which has made me feel so flattered.
Yeah.
So flattered that all these people either want to sign up or be on a Netflix show, which is equally as cool.
I love it, I guess.
But I kind of told them,
yeah,
I don't want anyone in this space. I don't want anyone that's in the Netflix
universe. Interesting.
We had some big meetings about like what would make a good partner. And the best thing is all my people that I care about the most in my life are coming on to help pick the person, because they've seen me be sad. They've seen me be happy. They've seen me be like, this is my perfect person. They've heard it all from start to finish and know what I need in a wife. I just think that because it's such a big family project, everyone has got the same goal and everyone will know immediately, fingers crossed, who it is. So I've kind of just said, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. I'm going to figure it out when I get there. And I trust all these people in my life. So fingers crossed.
The other thing too is like one of the struggles is once you finish filming, especially for you.
Oh, dude, it's going to be good.
you're going to have like, let's just say filming wraps in November and doesn't air till the 2026 at some point. Like you're going to have to lay low, man. That's going to be your time. You pull back and stay off social media, because if anybody sees you with the person, that's going to leak. So think about
I've already got a house found in Australia that I'm going to hide at.
Wow, you're prepared, man.
Brother, you have no idea the shit I've been doing.
Wow.
I just finished this book called He Scared, She Scared.
Okay.
Which is about commitment phobic people. To see if I had any of this stuff going on.
Okay.
In the middle of people who walk on eggshells to learn about personality disorders and stuff. Yeah. Just in case.
Yeah.
Like in case I've got something wrong with me. But like just to learn more about like relationship stuff. Literally every day I'm trying to finish a book.
Damn.
I'm now in like Joe Dispenza's book about visualizing and like thinking bigger. And I'm starting to meditate because I'm like really want to get, like I really want to, this is like intentful. Like the only reason why I taught the handle works so well for me is because I was laying in bed in a meditative state every night before I went on, thinking about like, this is the person I want to have and kind of this is what I want to get out of this and all the stuff, like really manifesting and feeling like I've already done it.
Wow.
And all these other shows I've done before this point, I haven't really prepared. I've just been like, okay, cool. I'm going to drink and have fun. This one, because I know there's so many people that are putting sweat, tears, love, money, tons of money into this. I'm like, the amount of people that are doubting that I'm ready for this. Like, it's actually insane how many people do not think I'm ready. So I'm like, well, do I think I'm ready? I'm going to make myself ready. Wow. I'm going to do all the work to make sure that I'm ready to rock. Like I've still been seeing my therapist more now than ever to figure out what has happened in my childhood that it potentially makes me pull away or not. Like the biggest thing I realize is I'm not good at being direct at all when it comes to relationships. If I feel some type of way about something, I'll dance around it so I don't upset people.
That's the walking on eggshells, right?
Yeah. So there's like so much stuff this is the first time I've ever, every single day, like making sure that I'm doing the work, so by the time it comes down and shit has to go down.
Dude, that's beautiful. I'm ready. I think people are going to hear that. They're going to be so excited for you, because I'm telling you, I don't know who I'm looking at, but this is not the Harry Jowsey from 2021.
Guys, I'm lying.
I'll tell you because he's full of shit. No, I'm just kidding.
Here's a trading secret for you. Listen, we all know that as the weather changes, we need to change what we're wearing and how we're wearing, but we need to do it at an affordable price, because we all know apparel is so overpriced. So Quince has the kind of fall staples you can actually wear and repeat, like 100% Mongolian cashmere, $60 classic fit denims, real leather, wool outerwear. Here's the thing, like, I will tell you this, when it comes to buying clothes, I'm also so specific, because there are all these labels out here and they're so overpriced. But with Quince, you can actually get extremely solid quality. And you don't have to worry about what the trends are because they will shop the trends for you and they do it at such an affordable price. That's why I always have Quince as an advertiser on Trading Secrets. It's great quality. It's up to speed with the trends, but it's priced affordably. Layer up this fall with pieces that feel as good as they look. Just go to quince.com/tradingsecrets for free shipping on your order. And here's the deal. Try it on. See if you like it. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. Just go to quince.com/tradingsecrets for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/tradingsecrets.
All right, we talk money on this podcast too, also career navigation. Talk to me about the financial reality of being, you know, you get offered this show. Mm. They came to you. You're the guy. You're the lead. Your value these days is off the charts. You also have individual partnerships that you're monetizing off. Mm. How does, just walk me through a little bit of the finances between being a Netflix reality star versus like independent brand deals. And do you do something like this for the check? Do you negotiate? Is it something that is more of a brand play? Walk me through that.
I think when it comes to Netflix, the biggest opportunity and the way you make the most amount of money is after the show. Thankfully, this is the most I've ever been paid for a show, and I'm really like appreciative of that. And they're being over generous with what they're. I guess we've also been working together for a long time, and I've taken a few hits on other shows where I'm like, I've lost money on this, but also I just love what. Like, I could. There was a point where I'm like,
what
I'll
do you
never
mean you've lost money. How would you lose money on a show?
Say I spend more on my wardrobe or not being present for deals or whatever else. Like,
oh, I see.
There could be makes a month where there's like 200K in brand
makes
deals.
Perfect sense.
Can't do it because I'm filming this show, which again is the opportunity cost. But it's also like there, it keeps the things moving forward in the future. But I think that we've been in a really good position. Like back when you saw me, I was not brand safe at all.
Yeah.
Like brands didn't really fuck with me. Yeah. I also didn't know the value in having potentially like a respected voice or being able to say something and people be like, oh, cool, I want to try that. Or I like this person, so I'm going to support them in what they do. So now I think we're in a way better position to get bigger brand deals. We've got some good ones.
Are you making more off independent brand deals or reality TV when you look at like...
Independent brand deals for sure.
Okay, by a long shot.
After this show... Yeah, maybe. No, okay. I think, I still make more money from brand deals and stuff, but obviously I couldn't get the brand deals without the show.
Yeah.
So even on this show, I would have paid Netflix to have me on because number one, I'm ready to get married.
Yeah.
But number two, I just love working with them and they're the best. Like, I don't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Unless. No.
Unless, we'll see. You never know. All right. We're going to get into acting because it is wild to do reality TV and acting. I do want to get like, you are a massive reality TV star. There's so much happening in the business space of reality TV. Mm. You got Love Island that is blowing up at levels we've never seen. 18, 20 billion minutes streamed off a TV show.
Ridiculous.
You have, you know, kind of the Bachelor franchise pulling back a little bit, trying to make their splash. Netflix has some unbelievable shows, right? Like Love is Blind, all these things. Reality TV is now a market that is, I don't know if I want to use the word oversaturated, but let's call it much more saturated than it was when you were in the game in 2021 early on. What's like your state of the union of reality TV? What do you think about it? Where do you think it's going to go? Like, what's the business hat of Harry Jowsey thinking about when you think reality TV now?
I think that reality TV is so drama driven. Like the Love Island, the reason why this season was so good is the amount of drama. First time I ever watched Love Island was this season.
Yeah.
And I watched like the reunion the whole way through because I'm like, oh, I wonder what drama is going to come out of it. I think it's some, like the pendulum is obviously going to swing back the other way where the people are going to be like, okay, like this is too crazy and too much in our household and too much anxiety all the time. I think for me as a talent on these shows, my goal has been, like, I can't be a grown ass man and having screaming matches every night on these shows, right?
Yeah.
So that's why they're moving over to like the scripted stuff where it's like the shelf life's a lot better. And it's a lot more playful. Also, those sets are way more fun because everyone has the same mission and the same goal. So everyone, when you're on this movie set compared to reality set, like reality set, the camera guys aren't really talking to you. Like they kind of want you to be in that bubble and that atmosphere. Whereas on a movie set, everyone's like, oh, so excited because they've all read the script. They're all excited. They know what we're doing today. And they're long hours and everyone's hustling and getting stuff done. So I think when it comes to reality TV, there's we're in such a great point right now. Like mm-hmm. everything is awesome, everything's up and coming, everything's going crazy. But I think that pendulum will swing the other way.
Yeah, I think it's a good point on scripted. It's also, I've never heard that perspective. Reality TV, there's always such a battle between what individual cast member is trying to achieve, what production needs, and then what high level executives needs. And a lot of those things all don't align. And it's interesting to hear on scripted, like, we are all here from producers to handlers to actors and actresses to make the best possible show we can make, mm-hmm. period, end of story, common goal. That's a fascinating thing. How do you make the jump from reality TV to scripted? Did you go to acting classes? Did you talk to the right agents? What did the career navigation look like?
Dude, it just came down to starting, like getting obsessed with it.
Like doing auditions or studying?
Yeah. No, so I started with a coach, Kimberly Bigsby. She was my first ever coach. We love her. She's the best. She just started doing like Zoom calls with me and teaching me how to go through stuff, recommending books, whatever else. And it's so weird, like to play and to be a big kid. It's the weirdest thing ever, but it's so
much
fun.
An exercise they do? Like put yourself as a kid?
No, because you have to, just in general, because you have to imagine. Right, you have to use your imagination. When was the last time you like pretended to do something?
Exactly.
Don't you don't pretend ever. So
is that an exercise they would do? Like pretend to do this?
No. It was just my observation of like how I would feel when I'm doing it.
Gotcha.
And then I would tell her like, "Hey, Kimberly, like I feel a little bit weird," and she's like, "That's okay. Like it's fine to like be creative and use your imagination again and like to feel strange about it because." You're in your like living room pretending that you're getting shot in the arm and you're like this.
Yeah.
And then you have to like get out of your head about it. So I thought that was like the most interesting thing. But I started doing, I've done hundreds of auditions, hundreds, like so many. But I think the thing is just getting, Matthew McConaughey's book is really good because he was like, in his book, he said, it's just business. It's not personal. Everyone's going to say no. And that's what, once I realized is like, I should just get obsessed with doing this stuff and like having fun and learning an American accent, learning how to play, learning how to do all these
things. Can you do an American accent?
Yeah, but not on.
You got to like go in the zone.
Okay. I got to like read the words.
I get way too nervous. Yeah.
But doing that. And then I think just becoming obsessed with what you're doing is really exciting. And then the business aspect of that is so much more exciting because you're being judged on a reality TV show as a version of yourself or a played up version of yourself. When you're doing these movies and other stuff, like people are gonna judge a character and you get to talk about yourself in like third person as that character.
Interesting.
Which is way better than like, oh, Harry, watch this clip back. Why did you kiss that girl?
Yeah.
Like, sure, it's cool and it got me here and it's really exciting. But the shelf life and the family dynamic of a movie set, so much more fun.
Interesting to hear the business. You said kiss a girl on reality TV, but you said before the show you had to actually kiss a girl on Horrified.
Yes.
So you have a sex scene on Horrified. Tell me about, before we get into that, tell me about like what is it like auditioning for like the audition process? How many steps is it for something like a show, like an indie film like Horrified?
Indie film, I was good because I was an offer only, so they came to me, which is
that's so cool.
Lucky.
So sometimes you don't have to audition.
Yeah. No, okay. Sometimes you just take a hike with the right guy and he's like, oh, I know what they're doing.
Wow.
Or you have a lunch with a friend because you never know. Like that's the best thing about LA is it could be in an Uber and the driver could be casting for a film in the next 2 years. Like you don't know who's going to be doing something cool.
I love it.
So that's why I just like love everyone because everyone's great and on their own journey.
Yeah.
But the Netflix one was offer only, and then Billy Knight was a one, not offer only. Is that crazy?
The wrong path.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. The Wrong Paris was a straight up offer, but Billy Knight, I had to audition for that. But it's usually like you do the audition, if potential table read, whatever else, but I got a call right away.
When it comes to my health, here is my motto. The more information I can get, the better. The more insight I can give, the more I can do for my body. And routine physicals often skip so many of the parts and information that could be helpful for you. That's why I use Function. What is Function? Well, I chose Function because it's the health platform that gives me data that most people will never get and the insights to start actually doing something about it.
Inside Function, you get access to test over 100 plus biomarkers, from hormones to toxins to markers of heart health, inflammation, and stress. And for an additional fee, you can also get access to MRI and chest CT scans. The other thing too is you can get information that could then allow you to make changes, as far as maybe that your vitamin D levels need to be higher, or that you need more zinc, or that you might have a high sensitivity to vitamin C. It just provides more information that's going to allow you to better prepare your body, especially as we go into winter season. So you can learn more about joining Function using my link. It is a 360 view to see what's happening in your body. And my first 1,000 listeners are going to get a $100 credit toward their membership. Just go to functionhealth.com/tradingsecrets or use code tradingsecrets100 and you can sign up for your own health. Check it out.
For people that are listening to this, they see table read. They remember the Jennifer Aniston moment with the table read. Brad Pitt, what is a table read for people that don't know?
Just essentially like going through the script with everyone in the room to feel the vibe, see if the energy's there.
Okay.
To kind of play a little bit to see if it all gels and makes sense. And a lot of the time, like, some people don't make it back from a table read. Like, they're just like, all right, we need to try someone else to see if there's chemistry there. Because a lot of that, like, energy kind of reads, right?
Yeah. I love it. All right, with Horrified, got to ask, it's a question we would never know. How challenging, how weird, what are some behind-the-scenes trading secrets you wouldn't know about actually being in the career of an actor and having to film a sex scene? What is something that people wouldn't know about that? And when can they watch Horrified?
I actually don't know. I know we're doing our wrap party this weekend, which is kind of fun.
Okay, so soon.
Yeah, soon. I think it's going to come out pretty quick because they were moving pretty quick on it.
Okay.
But with a love scene like that, it's very weird because there's like 30 or 40 people there. Like,
interesting.
And we had, it, because it was any film, had to rush because of the budget as well, like had to be done by midnight. So it's like, first ever sex scene. They're rushing me. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. Luckily, like my dance partner in the scene was, she's done it before and she was awesome. Like, she was really, because I was nervous. I'm like, this is crazy.
Of course.
Like, I don't want to do the wrong thing. I also like don't want to put my hand in the wrong spot.
Sure.
I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable.
Of course.
And it was just so fun. And then smoking a fake cigarette was also weird because it was like fake herbs and it tastes like a cigarette,
weird.
But didn't have any tobacco in it.
Yeah.
Very, very like interesting and like not what you would think, because like the sex scenes, what they also explained to me is like they're not really hot at all because there's so many people watching and then you have to
cut, take
from this angle and you're standing there like no shirt on, like what do I do?
Yeah.
But I've also had real sex on TV, so I'm like, ah.
There's nothing.
I'm like, yeah, we're fine.
this is cake. All right, how different, we talked money on this podcast too, of course, you know, how different are the pay structures between reality TV and scripted TV?
I think scripted, it's not good.
Really?
Well, I think once you get paid
significantly less than reality?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. I think it depends. All this stuff depends, right? It's all the scale. I think obviously like indie films and stuff, people aren't really getting paid too much.
Okay.
Reality TV, like if you do Dance with the Stars, all these other shows, mm-hmm. you're going to get paid a great amount of money. Everything's good. But as you're like working your way up, I think that a lot of people need to, like, I think people freak out about not making a ton of money off the jump. Like, I know when I first did a show without even having any followers or anything, it was like $250 a week.
Wow.
It's like you're just doing it for the love of the game.
Sure.
And then you get sense. Then you get, like, if you're in the system long enough, then you start to make the real money and everything's like really cool. So I feel like with the scripted stuff, I'm starting from scratch. Like, I gotta start from ground up.
It's so cool that you're doing scripted for Netflix and leading unscripted for Netflix with The Wrong Paris and Billy Knight, and then you're alongside Al Pacino. I mean, like, that's unheard of. Tell us some stuff behind the scenes about this career track and The Wrong Paris and Billy Knight and being opposite Al Pacino that, like, we just wouldn't know unless we heard from you.
So the crazy thing about The Wrong Paris is it's a fake Bachelor show.
Do you
know this?
I didn't know that, no.
So it's essentially, and they might cook me for this, but it's like, when I read the script, I'm like, oh, this is The Bachelor.
Yeah.
But like a play on The Bachelor. And I thought it was kind of hilarious because I don't know at that time, but that was when Let's Marry Harry was kind of being developed and like thought about as well. So I'm like, it's kind of funny that I'm on a fake dating show that I'm about to go do.
Kind of checks. Fits.
Another thing. Yeah, dude. And it was epic. We filmed, only had a couple of days on set for The Wrong Paris, but we were in Vancouver, Pearson and Miranda, okay. The best people. One of my friends, Hannah, was on set. Like, everyone was awesome. And again, it's the same thing. Like, everyone is, like, we'd all be chilling at the back. Like, just feels like a bunch of big kids.
Yeah.
Having a good time. And then you get this, like, and that's the best thing about the scripted stuff is you get to learn so much. Like, why is the sound guy doing that? Or why is the lighting guy doing this? So then when I did, have you ever done ADR where you have to go into a booth and like voice over something?
Not, I've only had to do like when I wrote my book and you had to like go into a booth and read your book back. But that's
yeah,
it.
So like that, but like with
what is ADR stuff? I don't know.
Yeah. Audio driving.
Oh, something over, okay. Yeah.
But do you know what ADR stuff is?
No, we don't know. Okay, but it's something with audio. Yeah. But like watching the movie and then having to go, so weird.
So like doing that is like so, it's so opposite of what's so natural with unscripted, yeah. Which is just being you.
Yeah, you get to have fun.
Yeah, you get to like rip it. All right. Do you have any information on when those shows are coming out, those movies?
I know The Wrong Paris is out, and then I don't know about the other two.
Okay, more to come on that. We'll stay tuned on your socials. Talk to me about the podcast. I mean, under Alex Cooper on Well Network, it's how is it going? How has it been? Is what you expected financially and professionally?
I think it's been, we're getting in a really good rhythm. Like, we're having really cool people come on.
Yeah.
It's, you know how it is. It's really hard to like sit down and prepare and like get excited about someone maybe you don't know too much about.
Sure.
When like, I don't think I'm very good at like reading the questions. Like, you're really good at it, and like and keeping the structure.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more just like, fuck it. Let's just like talk about whatever. Like, tell me. So now I also
your life motto is like, fuck it, but it works.
Yeah. Like, let's figure it out.
But it works.
It works. Yeah. No, I think now, and it's kind of crazy, if I do research on my guests, I get way more excited. Because I used to just walk in and like read the cards and be like, all right, cool, we're gonna have fun.
Yeah.
This is cool. But now I'm like, I should probably put a little bit more love and energy into this. And it's been going really well. People seem to like it. I think we are gonna restructure a little bit and have it more playful, like a little bit more me.
Yeah.
Because even, you know what's crazy is like, I don't wanna have this serious, like, why did he cheat on you? Why did you do this? Like, I don't want to have those conversations. Yeah. I don't think I'm the guy to...
It doesn't feel like you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not the guy to break that news.
No,
you
know? I agree like, with that.
And it's tough. So I think it's like now it's, the goal is to have more playful, fun, sit down, like great, silly conversations.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I can be serious.
Gotcha. And is Alex very involved with like the creative and stuff of all this stuff?
She's actually insane.
Really?
She's so hands-on with every show that she does.
Wow.
Like, and that's the thing, you don't have to.
Yeah,
you're the richest person in life.
Yeah,
you're like chilling. You've done it all.
Yeah,
you've put us all under your wing. Yeah, you help guiding us. She's on every single Zoom call. She's like going through the merch designs, like this. Whoa. This last thing where we're like, oh, we're gonna have a restructure, she's leading the meeting. I'm like, Alex, like, what are we, like, you are chilling.
Yeah.
You're all good. You don't need to worry about little old me.
Yeah.
But she just loves this so much that she's so passionate. And this is my read on Alex. I think Alex's goal is to have someone under her or someone at the Unmo Network become bigger and better than what she's ever done. Because she's very selfless.
Interesting.
Very excited about other people winning. Like, when it came to, like, Let's Marry Harry, I remember I was getting calls. Like, she's so pumped. So excited to do this. Like, gets creative, gets excited. Like, she is such a good human.
Hmm.
And I'll die for her.
I love it. Let's go. So you're changing the podcast a little bit. Alex is very involved. More to come on that. Has there, you know, I'm thinking about your acting career and what you got coming out. There's so much in the future here. You talked a little bit about shows that you've passed on. Are there any shows that you can speak to that you've passed on that you've thought twice about? Like, oh, maybe I should have taken that.
X on the Beach.
Really?
And The Challenge. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
X on the Beach, I think it was around the time I saw you.
Yeah.
And I think they started offering me fucking insane money.
Can you share how much?
I think it was like, it started at like $70,000.
Yeah.
And that was
the
most I've ever been offered for a show.
Yeah.
And then it got up to like 180 or something around that. But the problem was, I saw, like, my team was like, hey, we think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, this is obviously insane amount of money at that time. But my team was like, your ex is in Spain where they're filming. Like, we've seen her post a story there.
Yeah.
And at that time, things weren't good at all. And I also was like, I'm not at a point where I would be okay to have a camera on me and have to deal with this situation. And if things go sour, then my reaction is crying on TV. Like, I wasn't ready to cry on TV. So yeah. I'm going to wait. And so I turned down that. I think the challenge reached out a couple of times, but there's a few other ones. Oh, I think it's I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here, Australian one.
Yeah.
I think that was going to happen, but then I ended up doing an Amazing Race, which was really cool.
Yeah.
But now, it's like more just like challenge shows. Like, I feel like I want to do challenge shows.
You've hit the gamut. You now got The Wrong Paris, Billy Knight, and then you got Horrified coming out in the acting world.
Yeah.
You'll have Let's Marry Harry in the unscripted world. Once these are all done, crystal ball's in front of you. You've done almost every reality show.
Yeah.
What direction do you think majority of your time is to be spent, scripted or unscripted?
Scripted.
You said that with certainty.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, so fun.
Wow, I
think where we're at a point now is we're creating shows. Yeah. Like, I've got the best people around me. Just became a part owner in the LA rugby team.
Let's go. That's so cool.
Making some stuff happen with that and following that journey along, which is really exciting. So if I could produce reality shows, that's the goal. The goal is to produce reality shows beyond scripted stuff.
Because
it's so exciting to be able to watch this stuff come together and to come to light. So now I'm obviously in a really, like, this is why my life's been pretty crazy recently, is because I know I'm about to leave to have this life-changing, most incredible experience of a show happen. But before that, what seeds can I plant? So now there's like three massive show ideas that I have, that which Netflix, I'm gonna come to them first, obviously, because I love them, and bring those ideas before I go film, so that at least I can blossom while I'm away and then come back and everyone's chilling, everyone's happy. But that's the goal, is to produce these shows, have feel good. Like, I think after the Marry Harry's done, all I want to do is have shows that make people feel good. Not the drama-filled shows, whatever else. Like, let's learn something. Wow. Like, let's grow together. Let's figure some stuff out. Because that's where the passion is. Like, sure, I could go do another hookup show and have someone scream at you and be a sausage and kiss the wrong girl.
Yeah.
But it's not fulfilling. Yeah. And it's also, that's not going to build a real community of people that love what you do.
I love it. In 2021, we talked about what we were talking about. 2025, you're manifesting this idea of being an executive producer. 2030, you're going to be like an executive at Netflix back in this chair and be like, dude, you remember what you said 10 years ago? Are you sicko? Look at you now. You're doing it. All right. The only other topic I got to get into is, I mean, there's so much to get into with you, but time is ticking. It's social media. There's a lot of questions about monetization of social media. The one thing I got to ask, going back to 2021, the goal was 10 million a year. How is that goal? Are we still working on it?
We're working on it.
And you want to be a millionaire by 23. How's that goal?
Oh, I crushed
it. All right, let's go. Check.
Easy.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Let's go. What's next? Do you have, before we get to social media, do you have any financial goals or anything that connect to like money and aspirations that are on your forefront?
I think just the biggest goal now is to have like a farm or something in Australia.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. So obviously, but then when it comes to like monetary goals, I've got like, I think at that time I was obsessed with the number.
Yeah.
Now I'm obsessed with like, I guess the energy or the feeling.
That's cool, man. That's massive growth.
I think. Because I think that's where you become really rich. It's like,
And you become happy and like, so like happy. It's rich in other ways.
And it's also like, who really cares about the stuff?
Because
I've got, you know what's crazy? One of my friends, he lives well below his means. Yeah. I had no idea how rich this guy was.
Yeah.
No idea. He was accidentally drunk, pulled up a statement. $405 million made last year.
Damn.
And I was sitting there, I'm like, and he's like, do you think I give a fuck? Like, who cares? Like, he's like, this is impressive to you, but like, whatever. Like, and he's just so happy with where he's at, but he's just done so well, set himself up and lives so below his means and just has like such a good time. But it's just like the energy. I'm like, wow. I see guys that are making that amount of money that are struggling and aren't good, but this guy's just so rich because he feels where he's at and like his energy's there. I don't know if that makes any sense, but he's like, I think just because his energy was there, he's able to get to the point of making X amount of.
No, I think it makes sense too. Like, you're not looking at like back at 21, you're looking at 10 million. Now you're like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
I'm looking at like, I'm trying to prepare myself to go on a show where I can meet my wife. I want to prepare myself to like be able to go to Australia and have a farm. Like, you're thinking like as a visionary, you're not thinking like a young 20 year old like punk throwing a number on. Like, that's, I think that's incredible, incredible growth. I think it's pretty special. This episode of Trading Secrets is brought to you by Booking.com. I've got to say, if you're looking to grow your vacation rental business, this is the place to be. Booking.com is one of the most downloaded travel apps in the world, and for good reason. Since 2010, they've helped over 1.8 billion vacation rental guests find places to stay. Yeah, I said billion with a B. But here's the thing. Most vacation rental hosts don't even realize that they can list their properties on Booking.com. It's usually where we go to book our own. And if you're not on the platform, your rental is basically invisible to millions that are using Booking.com, all the travelers worldwide. After all, they can't book what they can't see, right? So here's the deal. If your vacation rental isn't listed on Booking.com, it could be invisible to millions of travelers searching the platform. Don't miss out consistently on bookings and the global reach. Head over to Booking.com and start your listing today. Get seen, get booked on Booking.com. Before I go into social media, though, let's marry Harry. You got the ring. One thing I talk about with only every guest that comes on this show, the intersection between love and money is tough. It's a very tough one. Yeah. Do you have any like hard, fast rules? Are you going to talk about money and career? Are you going to what's your just take on that as you enter into a position where you might actually get engaged on Netflix?
What do you think I should do?
I think you should talk about it.
Really?
My advice would be that a lot of connection these days, it's built on consumption and not intention. Okay. And I think that we live in a world where people talk about their finances, and as a result of it, we then weaponize it, we blame it, we shame it, and we use it as like a tool to like beat them up or judge them. And I think if someone's being willing to be open with you about like what they're making or financial struggles they're having, that's not a red flag. The red flag is them lying about it or putting on some facade that isn't true, not being vulnerable. And I think it creates connection. So if I was you, I would step into it. I'd be like, tell me about your situations. What are things you struggle with? Like, what are the finances look like? Because when you get engaged, the biggest difference between like an engagement and a marriage, truly there's a lot of things that are emotional, but from a business perspective, it's a contract, you know? And like every single state has a prenup, and those are the state laws. And then you could make the decision to adjust and customize those laws, or you could just take the laws that the state gives you, which everyone has.
Damn.
So that's my perspective on
it. It's a really good perspective.
Given that, do you have a take? Like, do you have a hard and fast on prenups or any type of love and money rules?
Well, I probably should have a prenup,
but right?
Just in case, because you never know what could happen. And I don't know. I've never even, haven't really thought about it.
Okay.
Just being too fixated on trying to be a good guy.
You're just growing and changing. Yeah. All right, a few things on social media before we wrap. You got nearly 10 million followers across all platforms. How do you strategically approach the monetization of them? And then which platform do you monetize the most on?
I think, obviously, Instagram make the most on. It's really difficult because I feel like everyone gets in their head about posting and like gets too afraid of like, freaks out, like, this is going to bomb, it's not going to do well. I got to a point where I was only posting podcast clips. I'm like, this is kind of boring for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people, all they see when they come to my stuff is just this. So I wasn't even posting, like, photos of myself or any, like, cool stuff from, like, events. And I think once I got out of my head, it was a little bit more freeing. But the scheduling posts is the most freeing thing ever.
Yeah.
Because then you can do one a day. Don't even care. Yeah. Don't even care. It's all good. Don't worry about it. And then you can focus on like feeling better and having better energy. TikTok's been a bit of a tough one recently.
Interesting.
Like there's been a few videos that have cracked and like have done well. But I kind of just get in that mindset of posting a ton and then just deleting the ones that like don't do well.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing on Instagram as well. Like let's just post everything. Get out of our head, just get it up. Mm-hmm. And then once it's up, then just delete the ones that like don't hit.
Yeah.
Obviously Snapchat makes a ton of money.
Is which of those platforms, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, are you making the most on?
Instagram, obviously, but Snapchat consistently.
Are you doing Snapchat like every single day? Just pump up? And how many posts do you usually do on your story?
I used to just, like when I was doing Dance with the Stars, bro, I was posting so much. I think I was making like 70,000 a month just on Snapchat.
Interesting.
And I think one day there when I posted 500 times in a day, I made like 30K.
500 times?
Yeah.
In one day?
Yeah, I made like 30K. But it was like a year recap. Like, guys, this is what I'm so thankful for this year. And I sat there for like 3 or 4 hours. But imagine that's 10K an hour. I just sat there.
That's unbelievable.
Literally just like.
Just
everything I could think of from that year. It was like, it's obviously a hack for people who have Snapchat. And
at the end of the year and they're like, okay, cool, like now I'm gonna sit down and like figure it out. But those have been like my biggest days.
Yeah.
But yeah, consistently. And also I just got like a really good family over at Snapchat as well. Like they're
That's
really cool.
Awesome.
Like anytime someone's on a reality show, yeah. I'm like, you gotta talk to Brooke Berry. She's gonna help
you.
Oh,
she's the best.
She's the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's the one.
We love Brooke.
Unbelievable. It was crazy. Like you say 500 times a day, I feel like AI and like robotics are now coming into social media. Dude. And like one day, like we're going to get to a point, like an AI person's going to be able to sit on Snapchat and just like 500
it's
a day.
It's ridiculous.
Like, it's going to be interesting to see like how that changes.
Have you seen
those
AI agents for business?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's fucking crazy.
It's like, it's quite terrifying, honestly. Cause I'm just like,
dude,
how do you get ahead of it? Especially in a world like digital that we're in. Fucked. That's where I
in the podcast anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. You're gonna be an actor though, so you're gonna
be all set.
I'm gonna
be cooked. Have you seen the films they're making? I'm done.
Yeah,
I can't act that good, brother.
Their films are so good at acting.
Yeah.
What is the last thing I got for you is what is the biggest brand deal that you've done? What's your like the biggest brand deal? I don't know if you can share in dollars and cents at all, but like the biggest one you got.
I think it was like Tinder. They came in insane. Mm. I think it was over half a ticket.
Damn, let's go.
Like closer to 600.
Good for you, man.
Because we kept doing more and more stuff.
Yeah.
It was like a 6-month contract. And then there was like ads that I was doing. There's other stuff I was doing. So I just kept adding more stuff on. And it was so awesome.
Yeah.
Over there. I think it was like 500 or 600.
I love it, man. I love it.
And they were great.
The last thing I got for I asked you this in 2021, it's a layup, but it's always interesting to see how it changed. What's one thing that you overspend on, you know you overspend on, and no matter what, you're going to keep overspending on it?
Dude, I don't know how I spend so much money. It's pissing me off.
You gotta look at that stuff.
No, bro. Like I have to put like a limit on my credit card.
Yeah.
And then even today I'm seeing
a good budgeting tip though.
Dude.
Put a limit though and then you'll know.
I don't fucking know. I just turned it off today. It's just I went to pay for parking. It's like the client drove your limit. I'm like, fuck that. Turn that shit off.
Turn it back on.
Yeah, it's an inconvenience. I think the thing I spend the most money on is probably food.
Okay, gotcha. It's like, is it fine dining? Is it Uber Eats? Is it grocery? Like, what do you...
It's so stupid. On my podcast, there's one episode. I'd spend $8,000 a month on Uber Eats.
Oh, my God. What the hell are you ordering?
I don't know. Dude, I just get excited.
Are you just buying for everyone, or do you just go like right
the whole building. I'm like, guys, like, let's go. I don't know. Yeah, I think food is definitely the craziest. Like,
I love it.
Just the convenience of not leaving the house.
Okay, I got it.
So I'm like, guys, bring like Air Force Ones. I always buy shoes on Instagram. Yeah.
If I go in that AK and I see it, where's the where are you spending the most of that? Is it like, is it like fast food? Is it sushi? Like, what is it? What's the item?
I think it's probably sushi.
Sushi.
Yeah.
All right,
but now since the show, I've got a chef.
I love it. Good. You got a chef?
Yeah, so I don't fuck up. But I still eat chocolates every day.
Oh, so you can eat. So you're getting ready for the show. You're going to be lean, mean, ready
to
rip.
I'm boxing. I'm running.
Like, wow. You're not fighting here.
Well,
you're not.
You don't know if she's got brothers.
Oh,
yeah. Also, you don't know what I'm gonna say.
That's true.
I might need to fight myself.
You might be fighting, actually.
Brother, I'm fucked. Yeah.
But you got the ring, and you got a wild future coming up. End with this, and then we'll get your trading secret. Just pitch us. Give it like, you know, we've had sharks from Shark Tank on here. We've had some of the biggest businessmen, and they pitch us. Pitch us on the future of Harry Jowsey. What do we have to look forward to? What should we stay tuned for?
Guys, strap yourselves
in. Let's hear it. Here we go. Give me the pitch.
What is coming up and what to stay tuned for is the whole lot of fun. You're going to be absolutely eyes through your fingers.
Ooh,
you're gonna be, literally, you're gonna be like, oh, I don't know if I should watch this, but I'm excited to watch it. I think that my goal has always been make my friends laugh and give my friends that like little distraction that they have every week. Now I have so many more friends, so many more people follow us. I don't know if I said it on the first time we met, but the reason why I went on reality TV is one of my brother's best friends took his life. Now I've had two more. My best friend from the first show,
you didn't share,
took his life, and then one of my friends' moms took their life. Wow. We have the highest suicide rate per capita in Australia and New Zealand. So my goal has always been, like, even if people are watching me and they're like, this guy's an idiot and they're laughing at me or they're laughing with me, it doesn't matter. That's the goal has always been, let's give people their 40 minutes a week so that they can laugh at something stupid I'm doing. So that's why, like, the hate, all the other shit, it's like, Well, you're distracted from your shit that's going on by laughing at me, and I get to do what I love by making my friends laugh.
That is a beautiful way to wrap the podcast. I mean, I think that is so cool that you're finding, even through the highs and lows, the boos and the cheers, you get to see that that's an entertainment source for people. And you've seen people that have gone through a lot of things in their life, and just a smile every day or an entertainment source or an outlet can put someone in a different direction, and your foresight to that, that's really fucking cool. And I think, you know, one thing next time you're back here when you're an executive at Netflix, I also want you
to run the company.
I want you to be the founder of a non-for-profit dedicated to that mission. That's what I want one of your projects to be. When you make all this money from this next show and then you find your wife, I want you to do that. That's
well, we do have a charity event coming up.
There you go.
It's so with the skincare line.
Yeah.
And my friend Hunter, he's got his brand, Make Sure Your Friends Are Okay. We've really bonded over losing people that we love. But the goal with that is to do more fun events, get people to talk about their struggles, and like, let's realize we're all not alone. So next time I see you, I'll have a more official thing that's going on.
Charity. I love it. I love it. The charity, and we'll talk more about the business. You got to wrap with a trading secret. So it's specific to you. We can't learn it from a TikTok tutorial or, you know, a YouTuber, professor. We can only learn it from your experience, your life, financially, professionally, personally. What trading secret can you leave us with?
I feel like when it comes to this stuff, being in this space, being on social media, being on TV, is just to realize it's all a big joke and to have fun. And that's maybe not the best secret, but whenever I've been on a show and I got too involved in what's happening in front of me and thinking that it's my entire life, I took the fun out of it and you could feel it and it's not cool.
Yeah.
When it comes to like life and social media and stuff, if you want to be an influencer, if you want to be big in this space, if you want to be big on TV, just have fun and like don't care as much as you feel like you should, because I think that we all psych ourselves out. There's so many people with so many random fan bases on the planet. And if you want to be an influencer, you also deserve that. Like, you just have to put in the work and be consistent. Again, it's not really a secret, but I guess to go back to the first thing is there's less traffic in your own lane.
Yeah.
So stay in it, stay locked in.
I love it.
Who knows, like, shit changes over one video.
Yeah.
One TV show for me, like, one day. Got lucky. Yeah. Literally one thing, you just have to work towards it.
Yeah.
One thing will change everything.
Yeah.
And then we'll change everything.
Yeah.
Top shit.
I love it. I think I always like to give what my trading secret is from this time around. My trading secret from this time around is like, it's unbelievable what you can do when you look within and how you can grow. Like, you've grown so much from 2021. It's so cool to see. That's crazy. One. The second thing I think is really cool that you do that no one else does. Life gives you like a blank white canvas, right? And then you can make whatever you want from it. And so many people in life just make like a little, like they get this whole beautiful thing of life and they just like, they take their line and that's their life. It's like this little line and then it's done. And that's because, in my opinion, there's so much peer pressure, there's so much noise, there's so many places people tell us we have to go and have to say and have to do, and we lose our identity. And I think like the coolest thing about you is that you took that canvas and you took like 8 different colors and said like, fuck it. Just like threw the green on, threw the blue on, threw the yellow on. You're just like, I don't like that. Then you smash the canvas over your knee and you bring a new canvas up and like you create your own life rules. And as a result of that, it's really showing up in like who you are and then what you're doing. No one is an actor and Unscripted TV is a lead. I don't think, go look at the history. I don't think anybody has ever at the same time on Netflix had a role as a scripted actor and is leading a show in which you're going to get married. Ever. You're breaking barriers. That's, you're doing it with Netflix. And like, my trading secret is like, stop living in this stupid lie. And I'm going to go get a bucket of paint and throw it on a canvas.
Good.
So that like gets me fired up. I appreciate you coming on. The Wrong Paris is premiering this September. Excited about that. You got your podcast, Boyfriend Material Podcast. Check that out. And then, of course, Let's Marry Harry. Cannot wait to see that. I think I'm going to make the prediction perfect match. I saw it. It never hit number one on Netflix. It was like number 5, number 4, number 7 this past season. Let's Marry Harry is going to be one. It's going to be there for a while.
I'm thinking a while.
Where can everyone find everything you got going on?
At Harry Jazzy.
All right.
Wherever you want to be.
I love it. Harry Jazzy, thank you for being on this episode. Again, a Trading Secrets.
Sick.
All right.